Would you like to be seated? Our reading is from John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, and it's where Jesus turns the water into wine. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed him.
May I speak in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today we're going to discover how Jesus came to the rescue in a family crisis. I wonder how many of us have been rescued from a crisis. It may have been a big crisis. For example, being rescued from a dangerous situation that you may have been in. As we listen and look and watch what is going on in the world, we long for God to intervene and rescue people from the crisis they face. I think of the work of our Debt Advice Centre, rescuing people from poverty. Or the crisis may be smaller, such as being rescued from a difficult conversation at a party, or being rescued at work or college from someone who is deliberately trying to antagonize us. Or perhaps we've all been rescued when our car has broken down. God is a God who rescues. He died on the cross to rescue humanity from sin and to give us the gift of new life. We've just baptized Amelia, asking that she would be cleansed in the water of life, filled with the Spirit of Jesus, and welcomed her into the family of God. No one is out of the reach of God's abundant love and generosity. And this morning we're going to rediscover how Jesus came to the rescue in a very ordinary family crisis. This is an amazing story taking place on the third day. I wonder what you think John may be hinting at. Because it was on the third day that Jesus rose again from the dead. Could it be that this first miracle, this first sign of Jesus, is signposting us to something so much more? So on the third day, a wedding takes place at a village called Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and some of his disciples were also invited to the wedding. As I said, we were told this was the first sign of Jesus which took place. It's a sign when heaven comes down and touches earth. And it took place in a very ordinary family celebration. celebration that we celebrate today. Wedding in Jesus' time would probably involve the whole village and several people from neighbouring ones too, which is why we presume Mary, Jesus, and his disciples were invited. We're not told they had a very important part to play. They were just there as normal guests. Weddings then would have lasted over a few days, not like our weddings, but weddings that still happen in other places. And something very embarrassing happens on that day. They run out of wine. Now, some people might not think this is the end of the world. Some people at the wedding probably hadn't even noticed. But for the family, this was a disgrace. It wasn't just inconvenient, it was a social disaster and humiliation. Don't worry, it's fine with children running around. I love it that it is Mary who's noticed. Now, we only meet Mary twice in John's Gospel. Here, when Jesus' hour has not yet come, and at the cross, when his hour has come and his glory is truly revealed. And Mary asked Jesus to do something to rescue this family's reputation. He responds, "What concern is it of ours that his hour has not yet come?" And yet she tells the servants to do what he says. I like to think it was a great mother moment. "Oh, just get on with it, son. Just do it." And Jesus turns 6 stone water jars, each holding about 20 to 30 gallons of water, which would have normally been used for the Jewish purification rites, and turns them into the best vintage wine. Though Jesus himself said it was not yet time to reveal himself, he acted. He miraculously supplied them with gallons of the highest quality wine. He rescued the family from a crisis. He rescued the family from embarrassment. And their social standing was maintained in the village of Cana that day. We see that Jesus was concerned for this family. Now, for some people, they might have thought this was just a trivial incident compared with what other people were facing during the Roman occupation at that time. But Jesus cared for this family. So what was the outcome? His disciples discovered that Jesus cared about the small and trivial things. Jesus' generosity was overflowing that day. He didn't just provide enough wine for the last day of the wedding, but he provided the family with a month's worth of wine. This was no stingy half measure to provide just enough until the wedding finished. No, it was a gracious outpouring of excess. Jesus could do the miraculous, not because he was the Son of God, though he was, but because he was so in tune with the will of his Father. He was truly human, truly divine, and these signs happen when we allow the kingdom of heaven to come down and touch earth. We sometimes hear of places being thin places, where heaven comes down and touches earth. I think this happened actually last Sunday here, from what I gather, that heaven came down and touched earth. And seeing all these things, the disciples believed in Jesus. So what can we learn from this story for our own lives? Firstly, I think that God is bothered about small things, social crises in our own lives. So if we are currently struggling with something, then let's just tell God and ask for help. If we're anxious about the future, tell God how we're feeling. Seek his wisdom, his guidance. Or you may be feeling quite disconnected from God at the moment. Don't be ashamed of that. Just tell God. I met up with my spiritual director recently on Zoom just after Christmas. I was sharing with her what's going on in my own personal life and in the life of the church. And her wisdom to me was, however you feel, Henny, keep talking to Jesus. However you feel, keep talking to Jesus. Because nothing is too small or too big for Jesus to intervene in our lives. Secondly, God is generous in the way he blesses us. Whatever age we are, for babies, children, youth, adults, we're never insignificant in the eyes of Jesus. He longs to bless us. But I think this comes alongside us being obedient to what Jesus is asking of us, trusting that God will bless us and provide for us. The servants could have thought, how is water going to help with this situation of running out of wine? Water? But they did what Jesus asked of them, and yes, water was turned into wine. But the sign revealed that Jesus came to transform emptiness into abundance. This is God's story, and he wants his people to experience great blessing and abundance, because Jesus came so that we might have life in all its fullness. That's what we believe here at St. Mark's, that Jesus came to bring life in all its fullness. And thirdly, God may choose to do something miraculous if we have just the courage to ask him. Sometimes we think, oh, I can't ask Jesus of that. No, this story tells a different story. We can ask, but we need to listen. We need to have our eyes open to what he might do. Jesus chose to transform water into wine. This is what Jesus does. He transforms the ordinary into the extraordinary. Sometimes we say coincidences have happened, but if we've asked God for help, then it's more likely to be a God incident, a transforming moment. It may be that you suddenly realize that you're not struggling with something any longer, maybe at work or at home or in family life. Or it may be an amazing answer to prayer, such as someone being totally healed in body, mind, or spirit. I like to think these are heaven to earth moments, signs from Jesus, which we can so easily miss or forget when we stop listening to his voice. We've just had Christmas, when Jesus came from heaven to earth as a baby. John refers this moment as the Word became flesh and lived amongst us. And today we're reminded that that first public event recorded in John's Gospel is a very homely affair. Jesus, the Word made flesh, really has come to live amongst us, to share his life with us ordinary human beings like you and me. And the transforming power of Jesus revealed in the turning of water into wine can still have that same power in our lives today. Tom Wright, a New Testament theologian, suggests that we might want to pray through this story on our own or as a family, bringing to God the things we need to be rescued from: our failures, our disappointments, our shame. Remembering that transformation only came when someone took Mary's words seriously. Do whatever he tells you. Today, Chris and Kate have brought Amelia to be baptized, promised to bring her up, following and knowing Jesus. And as you begin this journey together as a family, I hope and pray that you will know a Jesus who provides, who cares, who's interested in the small things, as well as the big things in our lives. But above all, I pray that you know he's a God who is abundantly generous and came to bring life in all its fullness. And I pray this truth for all of us as we travel into 2026, that as we become people more of prayer, people who listen, who hear the voice of God, who do what he says, we too will see his glory revealed and believe in him. Whatever Jesus tells us to do, let us be obedient to his word and his call on our lives. Amen.